Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
It is shaping up to be a perfect night for baseball here along the Mississippi River as the Quad Cities River Bandits get set to continue their six-game series against the Dayton Dragons, the High A affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds. Good Saturday evening, everyone. As always, Kyle Kirchville joining you on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Wherever you're listening from tonight, thanks so much for being here for Game 5 of this six-game series and Game 44 of Quad Cities 2024 campaign. Quad Cities is looking to turn things around. They have lost 11 of their last 12 ball games, including three straight against the Dayton Dragons this week. The Bandits were supposed to open their series against the Dragons on Tuesday, but Mother Nature had different ideas, and we opened up the series with a doubleheader on Wednesday. Quad Cities won Game 1 of that twin bill, 5-2, but since then, Quad Cities suffered an extra-inning defeat, a 5-run defeat, and a shutout loss yesterday, Quad Cities' fifth of the season. It was all Dragons in the game, truly, from the get-go, as the very first pitch of the ball game was hit over the left field wall for a Sal Stewart solo homer. That was the first pitch thrown by Frank Mazzucato, but it would just be one of his two blemishes on the ball game. Mazzucato didn't have his best stuff. He went five innings, gave up a season-high matching five walks, but only yielded two runs and obviously kept Quad Cities in the ballgame. The bullpen also kept Quad Cities in the contest as they've remained fantastic here in the second half of the series. Oscar Rayo and Cooper McKeon combined for four scoreless frames, but the Bandits' bats were unable to get anything going. Yesterday, not only did the Bandits lose, but they had to battle both the Dragons and Mother Nature. There was a total of an hour and 18 minutes worth of delay yesterday. We were supposed to get started at 6:30, didn't get going until 7:23, and then in the middle of the fourth inning, the skies opened up again, and rain caused an in-game delay, a 25-minute pause. Both starters were able to come back out and finish off an extra inning, but it was an overall sloppy game for Quad Cities, whether it was on the field or hiding in the dugout from the rain. A member of the game who was not sloppy was the Dragon starter, Jonathan Harmon. He put together his first scoreless outing of the year, going 5 shutout, striking out 4 and giving up just 2 of Quad City's 4 total hits. Out of the bullpen for the Dragons, Joseph Menifee and Andrew Moore combined for 4 scoreless with 7 strikeouts. The Bandits only put 3 runners into scoring position throughout the ball game and went 0-for-7 at the plate, hitting in those opportunities. And they will try to turn things around tonight. Let's go ahead and jump into the starting lineups for Game 5 of this 6-game series. First, for the Dragons, the High-A affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds, they are managed by Vince Harrison Jr. Leading off, it is the speedy center fielder Carlos Jorge. Hector Rodriguez will bat second and play left field, and batting third, the second baseman, Sal Stewart. Cam Collier is in the cleanup spot. He'll play third. Cade Hunter bats fifth and does the catching, and batting sixth, the right fielder, Ethan O'Donnell. Victor Acosta will bat seventh and be the shortstop. He's the switch hitter. Drew Mount continues his AAA rehab assignment, serving as the DH and batting eighth, and hitting ninth, making his first appearance of the week. It's the Dragons' first baseman, Jose Serrano. On the mound for the Dragons, it's the 25-year-old lefty from Clinton, Iowa. It's TJ Sikkema, who was once a member of the Kansas City Royals organization. However, the Reds picked him up in the minor league phase of last year's Rule 5 draft, and he is back in the Midwest League, or in the Midwest League now, not playing for the Royals affiliate, but for Cincinnati's. Sikkema has been working out of the bullpen this year and has battled some injury problems, but in 4 outings, he's pitched 6 2/3 frames and allowed 4 runs on 8 hits, 2 walks, and 9 strikeouts. He should have a good support system here today. He played his high school ball at Central DeWitt High School, put together a career ERA under 1 as a Saber, and was the 38th round pick by the New York Yankees back in 2019. You may remember his name popping up throughout Bandits history, going back to 2022, because he was traded in the Andrew Benintendi deal, which sent Bendo to the Yankees from Kansas City. In exchange, the Royals got a handful of prospects, including former River Bandits Chandler Champlain and Beck Way. And while a lot of people were hoping TJ Sikkema would come to the Quad Cities, he came to the Royals via AA Northwest Arkansas and played 2 seasons there before eventually becoming a member of the Reds organization. We'll talk more about Sikkema later, but now it's time for the Bandits starting lineup. Quad Cities, the High-A affiliate of the Kansas City Royals for the 4th consecutive season. They are managed by Brooks Conrad. Leading off, it's the designated hitter Carter Jensen as Jack Pineda gets a day off. Batting second, the center fielder is Carson Rockefort, and in the 3 spot, the first baseman is Brett Squires. Trevor Werner is your cleanup batter. He'll play third base. Spencer Nivens is in right field batting 5th, and batting 6th, it's the shortstop Dustin Dickerson. Justin Johnson is across the way at second base, batting 7th. Omar Hernandez does the catching and hits 8th, and batting 9th, it's the utility man, Quad City's left fielder tonight, Davies Nadal. On the mound for QC, it's the former Padres product, the 22-year-old right-hander from Greenwich, Connecticut, Henry Williams, who makes his 8th appearance of the year for the Bandits and his 7th start. Henry's been very solid this year for QC, 1-1 with a 4.64 ERA, but he's looking to right the ship after what was a relatively disastrous outing last week for him against the Cedar Rapids Colonels. He pitched 4 innings on a start on May 18th and gave up 6 earned runs on a season-high 9 hits with no walks and five strikeouts. But nine of those hits, or rather four of those nine hits, were home runs. They were all solo shots. But anytime you give up four long balls in a game, you're usually left making adjustments at the end of things. Williams trying to adjust here in his first start against Dayton this season. Expecting a big crowd on a Saturday night here at Modern Woodman Park. First pitch temperature should be in the upper 70s. And once again, there is not a cloud in the sky. When the rain has stayed away this week, it's been beautiful. Quad Cities hoping to translate some of that into a win and try to get within one game of the Dragons in this series and continue their way up the Midwest League West Division standings. Quad Cities 7.5 games behind first place Cedar Rapids. We're going to take a quick break here on the River Bandits Baseball Network. When we come back, we've got tonight's national anthem and first pitch less than 5 minutes away in downtown Davenport.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can band it together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
Performing tonight's anthem, please welcome Sadeshna Epping.
River Bandits Baseball is back on the air tonight for Game 5 of a six-game series against the Dayton Dragons, the High A affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds. Hi again, everybody. Kyle Kirchival joining you from the historic John O'Donnell Press Box at the best minor league ballpark in America, Modern Woodman Park. Henry Williams is Quad City starter tonight. He's out there on the bump completing his warm-up tosses to Omar Hernandez as he looks to lead Quad Cities to its second win of the week and their second win in their last 13 ball games. Quad Cities will be sporting the alternate black jerseys today with the primary logo on the chest, the gold trim and numbering on the back. And for the Dayton Dragons, they're in the road grays for the first time this week with a green and black Dayton across the chest, a number on the lower left corner of the jersey, and then black and green numbering and trim on the back. Quad Cities entering the ballgame 20-23 under 500 by three games for the first time this season. The Dayton Dragons 21-22, just three games out of the division lead in the East. Quad Cities 7.5 games out of first place Cedar Rapids in the West. First pitch temperature today, 77 degrees, not a cloud in the sky, and just a slight breeze blowing in from right field. The Dragons center fielder Carlos Jorge is in the box ready to go. Henry Williams fires the first pitch of the night, and it's fouled into the screen for strike one. We are underway at 6:03 Central here along the Mississippi River. Jorge was the two-hole hitter for Dayton yesterday. Went 0-for-5, the pitch. Slider inside, 1-1. Henry Williams, the 22-year-old right-hander, 6'5", 228 pounds. He's in his first year with Quad Cities. 1-1 pitch, missed outside. It's 2-1. Williams spent some time last year in Single A Columbia after coming over to the Royals organization in the Scott Barlow trade. 2-1. Fouled into the glove of Hernandez. It's strike two. Originally, Williams, a third-round pick by the Padres in 2022 out of Duke, an institution where he played just parts of two seasons. 2-2 on the way. Breaking ball left up. It's a full count on Jorge. Carlos is one of six left-handed hitters in the order for Vince Harrison Jr. tonight. He is the Reds' number 8 prospect per MLB Pipeline and one of six top 30 prospects in the lineup. 3-2. Fastball just low and outside. Williams couldn't find the corner. And Jorge is going to reach with a leadoff walk, much to the chagrin of that third base dugout. So Jorge picks up his first free pass of the series. He goes down to first and puts a man on in front of Hector Rodriguez, who's been one of Dayton's best hitters this week. Williams into the stretch, center cut on the slab. First pitch, fastball fouled into the screen, strike one. Rodriguez has hits in all four games this week. He is 8-for-17 in the series, but he has just one extra base hit. For the most part, his damage just singles. Pickoff move to first. Jorge back with a dive. Here's the defense for Quad Cities. Left to right in the outfield grass. It's Nadal, Rockefort, and Nivens. Dickerson's the shortstop, but Johnson at second. Warner's at third. Squires at first. Hernandez does the catching. Another throw over, and back with a dive goes Jorge. Squires threw the tag on him, but much too late. Carlos with 9 stolen bases in 10 tries this year. Second on the team in total swipes. Williams, 0-1. Wave and a miss. Rodriguez chased the slider off the plate and outside. And he will ask for a timeout, falling behind in the count, nothing and two. Quad Cities with 12 strikeouts in the ball game Thursday, just 5 strikeouts yesterday. 0-2, that's outside, 1-2. On the year, Williams has 31 in 33 innings. His career strikeout per 9, 8.5. Now the 1-2. Jorge takes off. It's a ground ball to third base. Backhand stop for Warner. Long throw to first. Got him. Just in time to retire Rodriguez. He can't believe the call. Neither can Jeffrey Sierra, the first base coach. But that works like a sacrifice, moving Jorge up to second. Nice play from Warner to get at least one. So one out, a man in scoring position for Sal Stewart. He was the biggest issue for Quad Cities yesterday. Put together a three-hit ball game, including that leadoff homer on the night's first pitch. Right on right, Williams deals. The breaking ball is lifted in the air towards deep center field. Rockefeller, though, maneuvers underneath it, makes the catch, and Jorge will tag up for third and advance without a throw. So another first pitch swing in the first at-bat for Sal Stewart. This one stays in the yard and finds the glove of Rocco. And there are two gone for Cam Collier. Put a pretty good swing on a first pitch breaking ball. So after facing the right-hander Stewart for just one pitch, he goes back to face a lefty in Collier. Williams' first pitch is slapped backwards, strike one. Cam was not in the lineup yesterday for Vince Harrison Jr. He is hitless in the series. He's in the four hole, though, tonight. A one. Called strike at the knees, nothing and two. Even though he's had a slow week at the plate, he's somebody you got to be cautious with. He leads Dayton with eight home runs, a mark that's fifth best in the league. 0-2 from Williams. Chopper down the first baseline, foul. Glove to the right of the chalk by Squires, and he tosses it into the party plaza for a souvenir. Collier, just 19 years old, one of three 19-year-olds in the Dragons' infield. He, Victor Acosta, and Leo Balcazar, all sub-20. 0-2. Fastball just off the plate inside. Again, Quad Cities thought it was strike three, but Shin Koishizawa did not. He's got balls and strikes this evening while Connor McKenna patrols the base paths. Williams ready to try again. 1-2. Breaking ball left outside. 2-2. It's your usual four-pitch mix for Williams. Fastball, slider, curveball, changeup. He comes home again. Fastball again. Grounded foul to the right side. Into the coach's box for Dayton. Just getting underway here at Modern Woodman Park. Top of the first inning in Game 5 of Quad City's six-game series against the Dayton Dragons. It's the only time these two teams will meet in the regular season. Jorge, still at third base. 2-2, fouled off the glove of Hernandez. Count holds. Quality at-bat here from Collier. It'll be at least an eight-pitch appearance for him. Collier, a 226 average with those eight homers. Also has driven in 31 to lead the team. 2-2 again. Chopper down the third baseline. It almost hopped over the bag, but goes foul into Quad City's bullpen. Brandon Johnson tried to kick it up to himself, but couldn't squeeze it. Now KLM Schaff searches for somebody to throw the souvenir to. Quite a discussion down there. Important decisions that bullpen makes. Fresh baseball for Williams. Another 2-2 pitch. This breaking ball chopped over to first. A high hop for Squires. He gloves and flips to Williams covering to end the inning. So nothing comes of the leadoff walk. Williams strands Jorge at third base. And Quad Cities will come to the plate for the first time tonight in a scoreless ball game. You're listening to Midwest League Baseball on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodmen Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodmen Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Clinton, Iowa's own T.J. Sikkema on the hill for the Dayton Dragons here in the bottom of the first. Sikkema pitching in the Midwest League for the first time in his career. He will face Carter Jensen, Carson Rockefort, and Brett Squires as the top third of QC's order. Jensen, the Royals' number 10 prospect. He was a top 30 prospect on MLB Pipeline's list last year, along with T.J. Sikkema back when he was in the Royal system. Left on left, first pitch on the way. Jensen grounds it sharply, but right at the second baseman, Stewart. He gloves and flips to first. It's one pitch, one out for TJ. Sikkema, 25 years old, as I mentioned in the pregame show, a Rule 5 pick in the minor league phase of last year's draft by the Cincinnati Reds. They took him away from the Royal system. Sikkema is 6 feet tall, 205 pounds, born in Clinton, but now calls DeWitt, Iowa home. Of course, that's just north of Davenport. First pitch to Carson Rockefort today. A strike at the top of the zone, 0-1. Sikkema, a star at Central DeWitt High School. As you may expect, 0-1 sliders inside. Played a number of different sports as a Sabre, including soccer. But it was baseball, where he was coached by his father, Shane. And, of course, he's taken that to the professional level. 1-1 to Rockefort. Slider chased low and outside. One ball, two strikes. In his high school career, Sikkema posted an ERA of just .85, struck out 370 batters, and held them to a .136 average. 1-2 slider, down and away. This time Rockefort lays off. Count evens at twos. He's now with his third organization. Drafted by the Yankees, traded to the Royals, drafted in the Rule 5 by the Reds. 2-2, up and inside. Rocco leans out of the way. Full count. Rockefort still with the team that drafted him. Royals picked him in competitive balance round B last year out of Louisiana Lafayette. 3-2. Fastball got him looking. Strike three on the edge. And it's a couple quick outs to start the day for TJ Sikkema. Well, even though there are likely some friends and family in attendance for him tonight, it's not expected to be a lengthy appearance for TJ, who moved to the bullpen in a full-time capacity last year when he was with AA Northwest Arkansas. All four of his appearances for Dayton this summer have also been in relief. Left on left against Brett Squires. First pitch is inside and hits Shin Koishizawa, the home plate umpire, and he falls to a knee behind home plate. Did that catch a piece of Squires' bat and then hit Shin, or was it just a fastball right to the hand? Quad City's trainer Nevin Dominguez out there. Not exactly sure how it got him. Ricocheted off the catcher, Hunter, it appears, who after the ball bounced off his glove or some part of his gear, kind of put his hands up as if he was confused as to why he didn't catch it. And Koishizawa wound up paying the largest price. Just caught him right on the hand. And that was a 91-mile-per-hour fastball. He is still being looked at by Dominguez, and the field umpire Connor McKenna has come down. Shin still on a knee as he tries to shake it off. Brett Squires talking with the catcher, Kate Hunter, getting his take on the situation. Dominguez with Quad Cities for the first time in his career. He's been in the Royals organization, though, for 8 seasons, including this summer. Spent the last couple of years with the Royals single-A affiliate in Columbia. Koishizawa standing back up, getting a nice ovation from this hometown crowd. For the most part, lots of nods and smiles behind home. And it looks like Shin is going to tough this one out. Catcher Kate Hunter gives a pat on the back and says, "My bad." Squires is going to step back into a 1-0 count momentarily. It has not been a terrific series for Brett. He's 1-for-9, but in the month of May, he leads Quad Cities with a 302 average. His average on the year, 285 with an 856 OPS. So after a brief injury delay, all parties at home plate ready to resume. Sikkema fires the 1-0 to Squires, and the slider is inside. The count, 2 balls and no strikes on Quad Cities' first baseman. Squires, a former Sooner, signed as an undrafted free agent with the Royals a couple years ago. Another slider 2-0, and this time Squires swings through it for strike one. Brett's first hit of the series came in the 7th inning yesterday. On the ball game, he went 1-for-3 with a single and a walk. 2-1 from Sikkema. Slider chased down and away, and it's 3-1. Correction, 2 balls and 2 strikes. Quad Cities has not scored in 17 of its last 18 innings, including a shutout loss yesterday. 2-2 pitch. Fastball up and away. Count goes full. Good leave by Squires. Brett with 7 homers, 24 driven in. He's been arguably the main run-producing catalyst for Quad Cities this year. Here's the payoff. It's chopped on the ground down the first baseline. Serrano fields foul. Tried to step on the bag and get the out, but the ball ventured to the right of the chalk, and the AB continues. Bottom of the first inning in downtown Davenport, Dragons and River Bandits battling for the 5th time in 6 games this week. Squires digging back into the box. They'll reset the pitch clock. And Sikkema with a fresh baseball leans in for the sign from Hunter and now sets just above the belt. 3-2. Another one chopped foul into that first base dugout. Straight up approach for the Dragons infield. First baseman Serrano a bit towards the line. Has another 3-2 sails home and misses outside. It's ball 4. Third walk of the series for Squires. Sikkema allows a 2-out base runner, and the inning will continue on for Trevor Werner, the Bandits' third baseman. Well, yesterday it was Quad Cities surrendering the 2-out base runners. The Bandits allowed 8 of them in the game. Fortunately, none of those 8 guys would ever come around to score. First pitch to Werner, inside and past the catcher, Hunter. This will go to the screen. Squires advances to second base without a throw. It'll be a wild pitch on Sikkema. That's his first of the year. TJ, a member of the Dragons opening night roster, but he only made 2 appearances for the Reds high affiliate before he was placed on the injured list on April 13th with a left rotator cuff strain. But he was activated about a week ago as Werner takes another pitch out of the zone. It's 2-0. Originally selected in the supplemental first round of the 2019 draft by the Yankees. He was their organization's number 15 prospect entering the 2020 season. 2-0. Called strike at the knees, 2-1. P- Pitch count for Sycamore. Closing in on 20. The same amount of pitches Quad City starter Henry Williams threw in the top half of the inning. Hitters count for Werner. Sycamore spins around and looks Squires back to second base. Trevor's started to pick it up a little bit. Still hitting just 153 on the season. But he's got a homer and a double this week. And three RBIs. 2-1 from Sycamore. Wave and a miss. Werner chased upstairs and the count's to 2-2. Trevor had a four-game hit streak snapped yesterday. Went 0-for-3. But his line out in the second inning was crushed. Just right at the third baseman, Stewart. We'll now ask for time as Sycamore was coming set. Pick up some dirt, spin on the gloves, and now get a good grip on the bat. Royals number 19 prospect ready to go. Sycamore sets. A look back towards second. 2-2. Curveball low and in. Full count for Werner. Trevor, a former Texas A&M standout. Played his college ball in the same conference as Sycamore, who pitched three seasons in the SEC with Missouri. Payoff pitch. Foul ball down the right field line. That one slices over the party plaza and towards the river. Sycamore with a very good college career, especially his final season as a Tiger in 2019. Made 17 appearances, 13 starts, and posted a 1.32 ERA. Another 3-2. This is chopped weakly down the third baseline, and it will push foul. Bandits skipper Brooks Conrad will pick it up and toss it into the third base dugout. Now both pitchers having to labor through their first frame of work. Despite the delays yesterday, we motored along pretty quickly in terms of game time. This first inning featuring just two combined base runners, but plenty of pitches. Another 3-2. That's a changeup, and it's low for ball four. Sycamore thought he had strike three. He was hurrying over to the first base dugout, but instead he issues his second straight two-out walk. So the inning will continue for Spencer Nivens. But before he can step to the plate, Brian Garman, the pitching coach for the Dragons, is on his way out to the hill. Some stretching happening in that first base bullpen. And again, that can be expected for Sycamore because he has worked as a reliever this year. The furthest he's pitched in a game was three innings in his first outing of the year on April 6th. Threw 57 pitches that night, but has not eclipsed 35 in his last three outings. And already tonight, he's at 23. Nobody throwing just yet for the Dragons, but like I said, some stretching, the medicine ball being picked up, the bands are being stretched. All the things you can expect to see when the starting pitcher starts to wear down a little bit. So for Quad Cities, runners at second and first with two outs. And their fifth batter of the inning, Spencer Nivens in the box, ready to go. Sycamore sets, first pitch. That's a called strike, lower outside corner. It's 0-1. Nivens hitless in his last 30 at-bats. An average sub-100 on the year as he works his way back from injury. 0-1, wave and a miss, nothing in two. Now Sycamore and Nivens had a similar injury situation, not in terms of type of injury, but both got hurt very early on in the year. Nivens got injured during the first full week of the season in West Michigan. He pulled a hammy. He was activated from the IL earlier this month. Sycamore's 0-2. High fly ball, right field, decently struck, but O'Donnell's going to camp underneath it. He waits for the ball to come down and makes the squeeze over his head to end the inning. Couple of base runners for Quad Cities via a two-out walk, a pair of two-out walks in their half of the first, but nothing to show for it. We're scoreless through one, top of two next on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. see priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together. Couple of base runners for Quad Cities in the first inning, but we are scoreless through the game's first six outs. Kyle Kirchival, thrilled to have you along with us here on the River Bandits Baseball Network. The River Bandits and the Dragons facing each other for the fifth time in six games this week. They'll wrap up the set tomorrow night for a special Sunday night matchup. Not something you normally see on the River Bandits schedule. Cade Hunter leads off the top of the second for the Dragons. Henry Williams, the Bandits pitcher. First toss, down and away, 1-0. 5, 6, and 7 due up for Vince Harrison Jr.'s crew. Hunter swinging it well right now. His average up to 358 as the 1-0 pitch is outside for ball two. He has reached safely in 14 consecutive games, and in that span is hitting an even 300 with four doubles. The pitch popped in the air, foul over the left side. It's strike one. In this series, Hunter is 4 for 12, a double, and three walks. Picked up two of those walks in an 0 for 2 batting cleanup last night. 2-1 from Williams. Big curveball falls in on the lower inside corner. It's a called strike two. Williams drove that one all the way down into the low 80s. Here's the pitch. Another off speed. That one low and away. And the count full on Cade Hunter. Quad City's infield shifted heavily to the right side, playing the pull. Squires hugging the line at first base. 3-2. High fly ball, left center field. Playable, though, for both Nadal and Rockerford. And it's Dave East who charges in and makes the catch, the wind pushing it back towards the infield. One away. That's four straight outs retired by Henry Williams, who allowed a leadoff walk to Carlos Jorge to start the game. Carlos made his way up to third base, but was left stranded. So one out, nobody aboard for Ethan O'Donnell, the left-handed hitting outfielder. He squares to bunt, pulls back, and takes outside on the fastball, 1-0. O'Donnell is the number 23 prospect in the Red system per MLB Pipeline. 2 for 6 this week. 1-0. Change up, low. Two balls, no strikes. After he showed bunt momentarily on the first pitch, Trevor Werner took a couple of steps in, just about even with the bag at third base. 2-0. Fastball on the lower outside corner, a called strike one. Fans still making their way into the ballpark here in downtown Davenport. Plenty of folks here to see DJ Sikkema, of course. The pitch. Called strike, outer edge. Once again, outside half of the zone, favorable for Williams. The slider came in at 86, and O'Donnell will ask for time. It's also just a perfect evening for baseball. I mean, you truly can't draw it up any better than what we're experiencing right now. 2-2. Curveball just low and outside. Close but no cigar, full count. Once again, a lengthy at-bat for a hitter early in this game. Williams with the payoff. Fouled over the left side. O'Donnell stays alive. Ethan played his college ball at Virginia, Reds draft him out of there in the sixth round last year. He now calls Highlands Ranch, Colorado home. Another 3-2 from Williams. Another foul ball. O'Donnell sends it into the screen right behind home and sends the pigeon, who is atop the screen, flying away. A 208 hitter in 25 games this year. One homer, four driven in. Another 3-2, and that one sails high for ball four. O'Donnell wins the eight-pitch battle against Henry Williams. Second walk allowed tonight for Henry. Well, even though he struggled in his last start against Cedar Rapids, the lone bright spot on the line for Henry was the fact that he did not walk anybody for the first time this year. Victor Acosta, first pitch swinging, came up empty. Chased outside for strike one. Williams had walked 16 batters in his first six outings of the year. 0-1. Fouled back to the screen. 0-2. Last week against the Colonels, gave up 9 hits, 6 runs in 4 innings, but didn't walk anybody and struck out 5. Threw 51 of 71 pitches for a strike. That's over 70%. But for him, the quality of strike was not good enough. 0-2 to Victor Acosta. Runner at first takes off. A ground ball goes to the right side. It's gloved by Johnson. He goes to first base for the out. And O'Donnell stands safely at second base. With how slowly that ball was hit, I don't know if O'Donnell running saved the Dragons from a double play, but it at the very least helped. And with two gone, Drew Mount steps to the plate, the Dragons DH. And in scoring position. And Williams peering into Hernandez for the side. He's got one he likes, and the pitch. Curveball loops in for strike one. Mount continuing his AAA rehab. He's currently on the 60-day injured list for the Reds affiliate in Nashville. 28-year-old hails from Santa Clara, California. 0-1. Outside, 1-1. It's not been a terrific week for him. He is 0-for-7. Did pick up an RBI a few games ago. He's also hit by a pitch. Williams looks back towards O'Donnell, the 1-1. Swing and a miss. Took him off the lower outside corner. One ball, two strikes. Quad Cities and Dayton scoreless in the top of the second. Dragons have the potential go-ahead runner at second base with two gone. Williams searching for his first strikeout of the ball game. 1-2 to Mount. Outside, count evens, 2-2. Drew with a deep breath, slightly open stance in the left-handed box. Waves the bat out in front of him a couple of times and now is ready to go. 2-2 on the way from Williams. Fouled over the left side. Mount, a 16th round pick by the Reds back in 2018 out of Kansas State. He has been all over their system over the last 5 seasons. 2-2 pitch. Low and inside, full count. One of the few guys you'll find in the Midwest League that played in the Pioneer League back when that was still rookie ball and an affiliated level. Pitched for Billings back in 2000, or excuse me, hit for Billings back in 2018. Payoff pitch. Fouled off his foot down the first baseline. Hernandez went charging after it, but in vain. Billings in under the same ownership group as both Wilmington and Quad Cities. Main Street Baseball. Mount had a really good season for the Mustangs back in 2018. Played 65 games in rookie ball. Hit .310 with 8 homers. He's back in the box. Another 3-2. is powered in the air towards deep right. Nivens on the move back at the ribbon board, and he makes the catch, stumbling a bit on the warning track, but he hauls it in to end the inning. And based on his body language, that ball looked like it was headed towards the river, but at the last moment, he slammed on the brakes and made the adjustment to end the inning. So Dayton strands a man at second in a scoreless top of the second. Bandits back to the plate, 0-0 on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Women Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
T.J. Sikkema is back out there for the Dragons in the bottom of the second inning. T.J., the Clinton, Iowa native and former Central DeWitt High School Saber, getting to pitch against his hometown team. He'll face three straight righties in this frame for Quad Cities, the 6, 7, and 8 holes occupied by Dickerson, Johnson, and Hernandez. First toss to Dusty is a called strike on the outer edge of the zone. Dickerson is swinging it well lately. His average up to 232, thanks to help from a four-game hit streak. The pitch. That one's too far outside, 1-1. Quad City's made Sikkema throw 27 pitches in the first inning. 16 of those went for a strike. Walked a couple and picked up a K. 1-1. That one sinks low. Two balls and one strike. Dickerson, 4 for 12 during this hit streak with two walks to just one strikeout. The pitch. Line drive, foul towards the Party Plaza. Look out down there. Dickerson still has the pink tape on his bat, which Quad Cities wore in the last Sunday game they played at Modern Woman Park on May 12th. Of course, for Mother's Day. Used it all throughout the series in Cedar Rapids. Certainly makes your bat stand out, that's for sure. 2-2. Another foul ball over the right side. Neither team has recorded a hit thus far. There have been four total walks in the game for the only base runners this evening. 2-2. Low and inside with the slider, and it's a full count. Quad Cities with some prolonged ABs against Sikkema. It's going to make it tough for him to work beyond two innings today. TJ asking Shin Koishizawa for a new baseball. He will get one. Dragons started stretching some relievers in the bullpen during the first inning, but they have since stopped. 3-2 to Dickerson. That's through the right side. It's a base hit. Rolls its way to O'Donnell in right field. And Dustin Dickerson's got himself a five-game hit streak with the first knock of the ball game. Now, when Dickerson is seeing the ball well, his opposite field skills are some of the best on Quad City's team. Really good at just having that short opposite field approach, just flaring the ball in between Stewart and Serrano. So a man at first for Justin Johnson, who pulls one on the ground to third, and it's past Collier into the outfield. Took a strange hop on him. He never squared up the baseball. And Quad Cities is going to have a pair of base runners aboard. Looks like they're going to put an error on the board. For Collier, it's his fifth of the season. No base hit for JJ, who struck it pretty hard, but the OS rules it was a hop that could have been played. First and second, no one out for Omar Hernandez, who tries to bunt to the first pitch, but fouls it into the catcher Hunter for strike one. So the Dragons have now stood up a man in the bullpen. It is a right-hander beginning to get loose. Sikkema's pitch count now at 35. A one. Again, he squares. This time, he puts it down to the left side of the hill. Gloved and thrown to first by Sikkema. He'll get Hernandez for the out. Sacrifice successful. Dickerson up to third. Johnson to second. And O is going to get a nice pat on the back in that third base dugout. So he gets the job done. Quad City's looking to take their first lead in a couple of ball games. Davies Nadal, the nine-hole hitter in the box, infield in. First pitch, low and outside, 1-0. Davies has played in just one game this week. During the doubleheader, he went 0-for-3 with three strikeouts. Sikkema's 1-0. Ground ball hit to the shortstop. Gloved on the backhand by Acosta. Dickerson stays at third, and the throw to first gets Naughty for the second out. That is why you bring the infield in, for a ground ball just like that. If Acosta's playing in his usual spot, that one is hit slow enough for Dickerson to score. But with the ball's journey cut short, both runners stay put. And now with two outs, here's Carter Jensen. First pitch slider in the dirt, ball one. Quad City's got just one runner to third base in their 2-0 shutout loss yesterday. And they got Brett Squires to third in the seventh with nobody out and failed to score. 1-0. Fouled over the left side, 1-1. Quad City's 0-for-7. With runners in scoring position yesterday. Overall, their team average has really dipped over these last dozen games, where Quad Cities has dropped 11. 1-1 from Sikkema. Fastball up, 2-1. Over their last 12 ball games, Quad Cities has scored a high A low 33 runs. And is batting just .208 with an on-base percentage of .279. 2-1. Swing and a miss. Jensen whipped open the shoulder and chased the slider low and outside. An ugly swing. And now Sikkema back in the driver's seat with the count 2-2. Trying to strand his second and third men in scoring position tonight. Here's the pitch to Jensen. Up and in with the fastball, full count. There's another lefty on deck in Carson Rockefeller, the man warming up in Dayton's bullpen, a right-hander. Dickerson at third, Johnson at second base. Payoff pitch to Genzo. Called strike three, base of the zone, inning over. A little slider from Sikkema at 78, and he hit his spot perfectly. Quad Cities still held off the scoreboard. We go to the third, scoreless on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
top of the third inning at Modern Woodman Park, Quad Cities and Dayton scoreless. And it's been that way quite often over the last two ball games. Dayton scored the only two runs in a 2-0 shutout loss for Quad Cities yesterday. There's not been a run scored in the last six innings going back to last night. Jose Serrano trying to change that. He takes outside for ball one. Nine-hole hitter and first baseman for the Dragons. Getting his first appearance of the week. 1-0, foul to the screen. One ball, one strike. Henry Williams, Quad City starter, back out there. Has not given up a hit thus far. No strikeouts and two walks stranded through his first couple of innings. 1-1 curveball inside, maybe up. Hitters count for Serrano, 1-1. Jose has not played in a ball game since May 19th. 0 for his last 15. The 2-1. Swing and a miss. Fouled into the glove of Hernandez. 2-2. Serrano just 2 for 19 this year. Both of those hits came in the first contest in which he played this summer. Williams fires. Slider grounded to third. It's under the glove of Werner down the left field line. Serrano a wide turnaround first, but he puts on the brakes. And the throw goes back over towards first, but Serrano back. And that's probably going to be Dayton's first hit of the game. And sure enough, it is. Werner going for the backhanded stop. Didn't get one. Nadal did a good job of chasing it down by the chalk and making sure that Serrano was held to just a single base. So that snaps an 0 for 15 for him and puts a man on for Carlos Jorge. First pitch inside, ball one. Williams trying to start him out with the curveball. Carlos worked one of those two Williams walks to lead off the ball game. Another curveball, and this time it's swung over the top of for strike one. 1-1 on Jorge, a 2-0-3 hitter this season with 5 homers and 18 driven in. Serrano over at first does not swipe to base this year. The pitch. That's low, 2-1. Nobody's warming up in the Dayton Dragons bullpen. Although a right-hander was tossing in the last half inning as TJ Sikkema worked to strand a couple of bandits in scoring position. The pitch. Tapper fell off the first base dugout. It ricochets right to the first base coach, Jeffrey Sierra. We've reached that point of the night where half of the infield is in the sun, half of it is in the shade. Sun sets over the first base side of the ballpark here in Davenport. 2-2. Chased in the dirt. Strike three. Ugly, half-hearted swing from Jorge. And that is the first K of the ball game for Henry Williams. Beautiful curveball. Just buried it. Didn't even register on the digital strike zone, if you will, up here in the booth. So one out, one man on for Hector Rodriguez. Another left-handed bat to face the righty. Pitch. Swing and a miss. Back to the curveball. 0-1. Williams has a curveball and a slider. But it's really easy to tell which breaking ball is which because the slider is a very short gyro slider while the curveball more of a sweeper. 0-1. Outside. 1-1. Hector Rodriguez is the Reds' number 13 prospect per MLB Pipeline. Bounced out to third base his first time up. Quad Cities could use a ground ball here. Man at first, one out, 1-1, and it's a bouncer to second. Sliding stop for JJ. To Dusty for one, on to first. Not quite in time. Rodriguez too quick. Nice play, though, for Johnson to get that lead runner 4-6. How many times have we seen Johnson make that sliding stop? Got to his knees and threw a strike over to Dickerson for one. Rodriguez beats out the fielder's choice. So a man at first and now two outs for right-handed hitter Sal Stewart. The pitch. There goes the runner. A called strike. The throw to second base. Got him. Omar Hernandez guns down Hector Rodriguez. Nice tag from Justin Johnson. That'll do it for the Dragons in the third. Williams picks up his first strikeout and faces the minimum. We go to the bottom of the third inning, still scoreless on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Dayton Dragons will turn to the bullpen for the bottom of the third inning. The right-hander Ethan Sikorsky takes over on the mound, and he starts off Carson Rockefort with ball one. First two and a half innings tonight, scoreless between Quad Cities and Dayton. The 1-0 to the Bandits center fielder, low and inside, 2-0. Dragons starter TJ Sikkema, as expected, put together an abbreviated appearance today, but for him, a reliever, it was actually one of his longer ones of the year. 2-0, fouled over the screen. Sikkema goes two scoreless innings, working around one hit and two walks with a pair of strikeouts. Got a chance to pitch in front of some family and friends here in downtown Davenport tonight. The pitch. Fastball, called strike, lower outside corner, and it evens at 2-2. For Easton Sikorsky, this is his seventh outing of the year. He is 0-1 with a 6.17 ERA. 2-2. A little bit low. Full count. Sikkema with a strikeout of Carter Jensen to end his night back in the last inning. Payoff pitch. That one low and outside. Another close toss, but Rockefort works the walk. So the Bandits get their second leadoff base runner of the ball game. They got one in the second inning, but when Sikkema struck out Jensen, Dickerson was stranded at third base and Johnson was stranded at second. Three of Quad City's four stranded base runners have been left in scoring position to start this ball game. So a man aboard for Brett Squires, another left-handed bat. He takes low one in and starts out the AB 1-0. Squires with a walk against Sikkema in the first, moved up to second on a wild pitch, but was left stranded. Sikorsky in the stretch, pausing at the belt. A throw to first base, they got Rockefort leading. They throw over and Serrano chases him towards second base. Now Acosta chases him back to first and applies the tag as Rocco tried the old 180 turn. And he'll be picked off and caught stealing for the first out in the inning. Rockefort caught stealing for the sixth time this year. That is tied for the third most in the league. Nice move from Sikorsky. So one out, 1-0 pitch to Squires. That one's low, 2-0. Bandits had not had a base runner picked off for a while. And over these last couple of weeks, they can't really afford to have done that. The pitch. Sharply hit, but foul past Chris Corbett behind that first base coach's box. Base runners have been hard to come by for Quad Cities the last few ball games. Had just 7 in the game yesterday with only 4 hits. 2-1. Curveball at the knees, a called strike 2. Sikorsky from Fraser, Michigan. 24-year-old went to Western Michigan for his college days. The pitch. Another breaking ball, and that's called strike 3 on the lower outside corner. The 12-6 curve sets Squires down on strikes. And there are two gone here in the bottom of the third inning. So Trevor Werner will try to spark something here with 2 outs. Werner attempted to do that with a 2-out walk in the first. Sikorsky's pitch. That's a strike. The knee is 0-1. This is the first year in Dayton for Sikorsky. Last year he spent the majority of the season in Daytona. Now 1-1 to Werner. That pitch low and outside. With the Reds single-A affiliate, he went 4-1 with a 3.41 ERA, 33 strikeouts in 29 innings. Here's the pitch. Fastball, up and away, 2-1. Pitched in the MLB Draft League back in 2022. Pitched for Williamsport, a 2.05 ERA with the crosscutters. 2-1. That's low to Werner, 3 balls, 1 strike. Scoreless game in the bottom of the third. Quad Cities and Dayton battling it out tonight. Werner with those high blue socks per usual in the box. The pitch. Rocketed deep left center field. That ball has got a chance, and that ball is gone. Fourth home run of the season for Trevor Werner. It's his second of the week. And Quad Cities gets the first lead of the ball game, 1-0 in the third. He drove it out next to the scoreboard in left center field. Sends a souvenir onto the berm. And just as the doctor ordered, he sparks the Bandits offense here in the late inning. So now Spencer Nivens with an opportunity. He'll take a curveball for strike 1. Homer number 32 for the River Bandits as a team this year. They're kind of middle in the pack in the league in that category. Nivens takes slow and away. Count evens on him at 1-1. Nice to see the home run ball showing up for Werner more often here in the second month of the season. Third pitch of the at-bat. Outside, Nivens ahead 2-1. Werner put up just gaudy numbers with single-A Columbia last year, but still looking for his footing in high A. 2-1. Big curveball loops in, a called strike 2. Boy, when Werner gets a hold of it, he hits him as hard as anyone on the team. 6'4", 220. You expect to see that. Nivens took a quick timeout, now back in the box. Sikorsky's 2-2 offering. In the dirt with a breaking ball, full count. Nivens 0-10 in the series, flew out to right field his first time up. Payoff pitch coming home. That's low, a 2-out walk. Second free pass of the inning allowed by Sikorsky. Walked Rockefort to begin the inning, but dispatched of him after picking him off of first base. And that may have very well saved this inning from showing a 2-0 score. Instead, just the one on what was a solo shot for Warner. Brian Garman's going to take another trip to the hill. The Dayton Dragons pitching coach has been busy early on in this one. He visited Sycamore once, now visiting Sikorsky. Dustin Dickerson will be in the box when we resume with Nivens over at first base. Quad Cities, when they score first, they are 15-7. They only have 5 wins this year when Quad Cities does not score the first run of the ball game. Shinkoi Shizawa went out to the hill to break up the party, now works his way back towards home plate. He'll dust it off before he steps behind the catcher, Hunter. Dickerson picked up the Bandits' first hit of the game to lead off the second, but was left stranded at third when the frame ended. Sikorsky's first pitch, outside, ball one. Dickerson now with a 5-game hit streak after that second inning single. He's 5 for his last 13, and he's only struck out 1 time in those 13 at-bats. 1-0. Breaking ball falls in for strike one. We've yet to really see a pitcher come in today and just take charge. Seems like everyone has faced some kind of traffic or obstacle. Throw over to first. Back with a dive, Nivens. Serrano couldn't hold on to the ball. One nothing lead for the Bandits in the bottom of the third. The solo homer from Trevor Werner. His 4th of the season. The pitch. Curveball low. 2-1. And for the most part, pitchers have ended up in hitters' counts. The Dragons now standing up a new right-hander in their bullpen. 2-1. Low and outside, 3-1. Sikorsky now at 25 pitches. He's thrown just 10 for a strike in this inning. In danger of a third walk. The pitch. Hit well down the left field line. This one hooking and going foul just over by the grounds gate behind the Bandits bullpen. Once again, Quad Cities relievers trying to convince Shinkoi Shizawa that ball was fair. They're going to have a tough time doing that. Large group of kids down there waiting for a souvenir. Ben Sears tossing it all the way over to where nobody was standing. Makes him run after it. Nivens will get a head start at first. 3-2 pitch is low and away. He walked him. Third walk in the inning for Sikorsky. And Dickerson reaches for the second time in the ballgame. So let's see if Dayton goes to make a move here. Vince Harrison Jr. at the top of the stairs in the first base dugout. He will not make a move. And he'll let Sikorsky face Justin Johnson. So Nivens in scoring position, Dickerson at first. JJ first pitch swing and cues it towards the second baseman, Stewart. He grabs it, throws to first, and ends the inning. Quad Cities has stranded 2 runners in every frame to start the ball game, but they've got the first lead on the solo shot from Trevor Werner. 1-0 Quad Cities. We go to the 4th on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Maurer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Searching for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located behind Section 7 inside the ballpark, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Bandidos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. Quad Cities River Bandits have scored their first run since the ninth inning 2 games ago. They lead 1-0 as we open the fourth. Sal Stewart in the box facing Henry Williams. First pitch in there for a called strike. 3-4-5 due up for the Dragons. They look to respond to Trevor Werner's solo homer. The pitch. Called strike on a curveball. Base of the zone. It's 0-2. Stewart pointing over towards field umpire Connor McKenna. Telling Shinkoi Suzawa that was not a strike yesterday, I guess. 0-2. That's in the dirt. Stewart, the Reds' number 7 prospect for MLB Pipeline. A fly ball to center field his first time up. Took a swing at the first pitch he saw. Nearly hit it out. 1-2. Chopper to short. 3 easy hops for Dustin Dickerson. He gloves, throws to first. Squires keeps his foot on the bag with the stretch. And there's one gone. Henry Williams had issues with the home run ball himself last week. Gave up 9 total hits against the Colonels, and 4 of those 9 hits were solo blasts. Today he's given up just 1 hit and 2 walks through 3 1/3. First pitch to Cam Collier is swung over the top of for strike 1. Collier now 0-for-11 in the series after Williams got him to bounce out in the first inning. Here comes the 0-1. Called strike, lower outside corner, nothing in 2. Collier is going to ask for time, falling behind in the count. Williams trying to be the first pitcher to complete a 1-2-3 inning tonight. 0-2. Up and away, 1-2. We've already seen almost 130 pitches in the game, and we're only in the top of the fourth. 1-2. Curveball just inside, maybe low. Not sure where it missed. That was a great pitch from Williams. That curveball is spun really nicely for him tonight. 1-2. Here's the fastball, foul to the screen. That was a challenge me heater. 91, basically right down the middle. Collier got a piece of it, but couldn't square it up. Williams has a sign from Hernandez. 1-2. Tapped off the end of the bat, foul. We'll do it again. Looks like some dust kicked up into Hernandez's face. He'll brush his eyes clear of the dirt. Home plate umpire Shinkoi Suzawa will go hand deliver a new baseball to Williams and let the Bandits catcher ready himself once more. Collier steps back in with green batting gloves. Waves it out in front of him. Now the 1-2. Line drive, opposite field, down in front of Nadal for a one-out single. Cam Collier with a nice swing on a pitch up and away. He goes with it to left field for his first hit of the week. Williams works another Dragon into a 2-strike count, but he's only picked up 1 strikeout thus far. Now he'll search for a double play ball with a man at first and 1 out for Cade Hunter. First pitch, there's the curve, right there down the middle for strike 1. That most certainly has been the best secondary pitch for Henry today. Slider has shown up here and there, but it's mostly been fastball, curveball. Squires holds Collier at first. He's not going. No one is strike two. Outer edge. Again, the curveball. So now that he's here to two strikes, how does Williams pick up the punch out? He kicks and deals. He tried to go curveball again, but missed outside. 1-2. A little bit of cloud coverage has shaded most of the field at the moment. A little bit of a shadow, though, behind Dickerson at short. 1-2 pitch. Outside, 2-2. The wind is blowing in from left field, but it's just a bit of a breeze. Not like the winds we were seeing throughout the first month of the season. 2-2 to Hunter. Down the middle, a called strike three. That was a fastball right down Main Street. Hunter couldn't pull the trigger, and Williams gets that second K for the second out in the fourth. The Bandits have now activated the bullpen for the first time tonight. Williams, all of a sudden, at 75 pitches through 3 2/3. The pitch to O'Donnell. Fouled into the screen, strike one. Now, one of the few good things that has come out of these last couple of losses for Quad Cities is that in both of the games, they got terrific long relief pitching. Bandits have only used three relievers in the last two games, so there should be plenty of arms available. 0-1. Breaking ball left up and banged towards the right field corner, but it's foul behind the Dragons' bullpen. Strike two on O'Donnell. Breaking ball from Williams was left way too center cut. Henry may have gotten away with one there. Williams, a very methodical, analytical pitcher. What does he dial up here? 0-2. Tapper down the third baseline. It's going to stay fair. Hernandez watches it, tiptoe the line, and stop just before it got to the chalk. It's going to be a swinging bunt single for Ethan O'Donnell. Quad Cities was shifted towards right field, playing the pull. No shot for Warner, the third baseman, to get to it. And as the ball was cued down the line, it was only the catcher Hernandez who could chase after it and hope that it would go foul. It never did. Collier moves up to second. O'Donnell is safe at first for the second time in the game. And now, tying run in scoring position for Victor Acosta. Switch hitter, bats left, swings at the first pitch and lines it to center field. In comes Rockefort, catches made chest high, and the inning comes to a close. So Henry Williams strands a couple more runners here in the fourth. He's thrown four scoreless, and the Bandits take a 1-0 lead back to the plate. This is Midwest League Baseball on the River Bandits Baseball Network. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodman Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Quad Cities versus Gem City this week. bottom of the fourth underway in downtown Davenport, where the River Bandits look to add on to their 1-0 lead. Quad Cities has dropped their last three against the Red Sia affiliate. 8-9-1 due up against Easton Sikorsky. Right-hander's first pitch to Omar is fouled in the home plate area for strike one. Quad City starter Henry Williams needed 79 pitches, but he has gotten through four scoreless innings today with only two strikeouts. 0-1. Wave and a miss. Good breaking ball. Nothing at two. Nathaniel Garbitos has been the right-hander warming up in the Bandits' bullpen. I'd say it's quite likely he comes out as early as the fifth inning. Already a bullpen day for the Dragons. 0-2. Way outside. The originally scheduled starter for the Dragons tonight was called up midweek. So Dayton had to call upon TJ Sikkema. 1-2. Swing and a miss. A slider gets Hernandez on strikes. Second K of the ball game for Sikorsky. And out one in the bottom of the four. TJ with a lot of starting experience in his career, both professionally and collegiately, but he's been used exclusively as a reliever over his last couple of seasons. So the expectation for him tonight was just to go a couple of frames, and a couple of frames he went. It's been Ethan Sikorsky since the start of the third. Right-hander starts Dave Eastnadal with a called strike at the base of the zone. Now he fires again, and Nadi pops it foul over the third base dugout. Nadal, a bounce out to the shortstop, his first time up in the second. On the year, the former Pirates product hits 148 with one homer and five driven in. He's played a little third base, a little left field for Quad Cities this year. 0-2. Popped up towards left field. This one pushing behind the Bandits bullpen, and it will get into the bleachers for a souvenir. Nadal's just 22 years old from the Dominican Republic. Royals picked him up during the offseason in December. He was part of the Edward Olivares deal. Collier and Acosta coming back to the infield after trying to chase down the foul ball. They're ready to go. Sikorsky's 0-2. Breaking ball. Got Nadal chasing in the dirt for strike three. A loose ball, but Hunter's just going to watch Nadal walk back towards the dugout. No tag or throw necessary. So back-to-back strikeouts for Sikorsky to start the home half of the fourth. And he is an out away from pitching the first 1-2-3 frame of the ballgame. Plenty of base runners in this game, but just one run to score. Two outs, bases clear for Carter Jensen. He's standing in as the leadoff man tonight, and he'll take a strike at the knees. Jack Pineda getting a well-deserved day off. Jensen hitting leadoff for just the second time this summer. The pitch. Curveball. A strike on the outer edge. 0-2. Carson Rockefort in the lineup today, but still remaining in the two spot. Here's the pitch. Low and outside. 1-2. Rockefort spent 31 of his first 42 games as a Bandit this year atop the lineup card, but over the last week has moved into the two spot with Pineda leading things off. Here's the pitch. Low and inside, back to the backstop. 2-2. Gotta beat those. Still throwing in that Bandits bullpen. We should see him in the next half inning. 1-0 lead for QC. Jensen trying to battle with two outs and two strikes. Sikorsky deals. It's off the end of the bat, blooped over the Bandits bullpen, and once again into the bleachers. Just a terrific crowd at the ballpark tonight. It's undoubtedly going to be the most well-attended game for the Bandits to start the year. Another 2-2. Low and outside, full count. Now, as Jensen typically does, he is battling with two strikes. Always a walk candidate. He's got 37 to lead the Bandits and the league this year in just 42 games. Payoff pitch from Sikorsky. Breaking ball, check swing. Did he go? Yes, he did. It's a swinging strike three. Jensen went around, according to Connor McKenna. So Genso down on strikes for the second time in the game. Sikorsky canes the side in the bottom of the fourth. We go to the fifth. Nathaniel Garbitos jogging to the hill with Quad Cities in front, 1-0. Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
After four scoreless innings from Henry Williams, it's Nathaniel Garbitos who will toe the slab in the top of the fifth. He is protecting a 1-0 Quad Cities lead. He gets the 8-9 and one hitters for the Dragons, beginning with the left-handed hitting DH Drew Mount. First pitch is a called strike on the lower outside corner. Easton Sikorsky just threw the first 1-2-3 inning of the ball game. Struck out the side in order in the last half inning, including an 8-pitch strikeout of Carter Jensen. A 1. Low and inside, 1-1. Tonight marks appearance number 10 for Garbitos this year. He's in his first summer with Quad Cities, originally hailing from the Dominican Republic. 23-year-old has a 3.86 ERA this year. 1-1. Fastball, swing and a miss, 1-2. Garbitos can ramp up the heater into the upper 90s, and then he spins the slider in at 87. Mount with a fly ball to right field his first time up. The pitch. Slider low, and it's 2-2. Put a pretty good swing on the baseball. Nivens started sprinting back towards the wall and then slammed on the brakes on the warning track and made the catch. To two on the way. Fouled over the screen. We'll do it again. Final line for Henry Williams. Four innings, no runs on three hits, two walks, and two strikeouts. A terrific bounce back showing for him after a tough week in Cedar Rapids. 2-2. Up and away. Quad City starting rotation with the second best ERA among all Midwest League staffs this year. And Williams, one of the reasons why. Payoff pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Great start to the ball game for Garbitos. He punches out Mount. And there is one down here in the top of the fifth inning. Well, as I was mentioning earlier in the broadcast, one of the few bright spots for Quad Cities during this small three-game skid has been the performance of the bullpen, especially the last two nights. Here's Jose Serrano. He'll take high. Checks his swing on a fastball, 1-0. On Thursday, we saw Ryan Ramsey as the only member of the Bandits bullpen to pitch. He threw four scoreless with six strikeouts, gave up just one base runner. 1-0. Pitch high and in. Two balls, no strikes. Yesterday, after Frank Mazzucato completed his five innings, Oscar Rayo threw three scoreless, and then Cooper McKeon threw a scoreless top of the ninth, meaning that over the last two ball games, the Bandits' bullpen has thrown eight straight shutout frames. 2-0. Chopper foul down the left side. 2-1. On the year, the River Bandits' bullpen also, like the starters, has the second-best ERA in the Midwest League at 3.21. And a collective whip, which also ranks second at 1.29. 2-1 from Garbitos. Ground ball towards third. It's gloved by Werner. He sets his feet, throws to first. Two gone. So two outs in a row to start the night for Garbitos. And he has pitched really well in the month of May. Giving up just two earned runs in his six innings pitched this month. He has not given up a run and has allowed just one hit over his last five innings. Here's Carlos Jorge. First pitch swinging. Came up empty on the slider. Strike one. Garbitos, 6 feet tall, 185 pounds. A former Seattle Mariners product. The pitch. Wave and a miss. Another swinging strike. And it's 0-2. Jorge is 2-for-14 this week. Worked a walk in the first, but struck out swinging against Williams in the third. 0-2. Time called. And the pitch goes soaring underneath the legs of Shinkoi Shizawa, who tried to jump out of the way. Jorge taking a last-second timeout, literally. Shin is already taken one pitch to the body today. Had one go off his hand in the first inning. But he's toughing it out right now. So Garbitos will try again. The real 0-2 is up and away. One ball, two strikes. 1-0 lead for Quad Cities in their half of the fifth, or in the top of the fifth, I should say. In their half, it'll be 2-3-4 due up against, presumably, Easton Sikorsky. 1-2. Slider just low, maybe outside. Garbitos like that one. It's two balls, two strikes. Infield shifted to right, playing the pull. Shortstop Dickerson behind the second base bag. 2-2. Got him looking. Strike three on the lower outside corner. Couple of K's. Bookend, a scoreless frame from Nathaniel Garbitos, who has now fired six straight scoreless in relief. Time for the second half of tonight's ball game. Bottom of five next. 1-0 QC on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Begin the second half of this Saturday night edition of River Bandits Baseball. Kyle Kirchvoll with you on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Thrilled to have you along with us for game 44 of the Bandits season and game 5 of 6 between Dayton and the River Bandits this week. Carson Rockefort begins at the plate in the bottom of the 5th, sends the first pitch in the air towards the left field corner. Rodriguez, behind the Bandits' bullpen, will make the catch in foul territory. Quad City's relievers not too pleased with that, especially A.J. Block, who throws the medicine ball into the track. So an F7 to start the frame for Easton Sikorsky. He's looking to pitch a complete 3-inning outing out of the Dragons' bullpen for the first time this year. He now gets the left-handed bat of Brett Squires. First pitch, down and away, ball one. Just a reminder, tomorrow's series finale between Quad Cities and Dayton will not be the usual Sunday matinee. 1-0. Low and outside, 2 balls and no strikes. Now the reason why, we've got fireworks. A special Memorial Day fireworks show post-game tomorrow night after a 6:30 first pitch. 2-0 breaking ball, cut on and missed by Squires. 2 balls and 1 strike. Make sure you get your tickets for tomorrow night's affair. You've got a chance to win a mini fridge, courtesy of Budweiser. Another breaking ball, this one lined to third and caught by Collier. The soft liner hauled in for the second out, and there are two away rather quickly. Got Squires to kind of flick it off the end of the bat. Just tailing away from Collier a little bit, but nothing too challenging. So Sikorsky moving right along. 2 outs, bases clear for Trevor Werner. He takes ball one. Double deuces has the only RBI swing in the ball game. A solo shot for his 4th blast of the year to give the Bandits the lead in the 3rd inning. 1-0. Fly ball, right field. This one not with home run distance. A can of corn grab for O'Donnell. And that will end the inning. So Sikorsky is now retired at 7 straight Bandits. And he sends Dayton quickly back to the plate for the top of the 6th. 1-0 River Bandits on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
While there's been a decent amount of base path traffic tonight, we've got a pitcher's duel through 5 innings, a 1-0 score as Quad Cities is just in front of the Dayton Dragons. The visitors come to the plate in the 6th, led off by Hector Rodriguez, who dribbles the first one foul on the left side. 0-1 on the left fielder. Once again, Natanio Garbitos pitching for Quad Cities. In the last inning, he completed his 6th straight scoreless frame out of the bullpen. Rodriguez, Stewart, and Collier will hit against him in this inning. 0-1. Breaking ball, high and away. 1-1. Ethan Sikorsky has done a really good job in long relief for the Dragons despite giving up the home run. 1-1. High and away. Two balls, one strike. After a two-inning start from TJ Sikkema, which was a planned short start, Sikorsky's given up just one hit, that homer, in three innings, working around three walks and striking out four. 2-1. Low and outside. Three balls, one strike for Rodriguez. And once again, nobody warming up in that Dragons bullpen. I think they'll try to roll Sikorsky out there for a fourth inning, even though he's not worked more than 2 2/3 all year before tonight. 3-1, line drive, right field. Spencer Niven's back to his left. It bounces out of his glove and rattles up against the wall. Rodriguez up the second base, and that's going to be an error on Quad Cities, an E9. Truly an in-and-out pop out of the glove. Niven's had it tracked down. He even watched it into his glove. He just couldn't secure it. Now that's going to be the first error of the season. And with Rodriguez hustling, he gets all the way to second base. So now both teams have committed an error in this one. It was Collier for the Dragons back in the second. Omar Hernandez with a quick word on the hill with Garabitos. Now back behind the plate, giving out signs. Rodriguez looks on from second. Garabitos pitching to Sal Stewart. First pitch fastball inside. Per usual, Nathaniel's got that velocity nice and high. 97 miles per hour on that last pitch. Stewart 0 for 2 today in the 3 spot. 1-0, bounce to third, grabbed by Werner. He looks the runner back, throws across the diamond to first. One away. Well executed at the hot corner. Always a good response getting the dangerous hitter, Sal Stewart. Rodriguez still stuck at second base, and now Collier up to the plate. 1 for 2 with a single back in inning number 4. The pitch from Garbitos. Low and inside with the slider at 86. Three straight lefties in this part of the order for Dayton. Garbitos the righty with the 1-0. Swing and a miss. Blew the fastball by him. 1-1. Collier almost jumped up on that swing. Both feet seem to lift up off the dirt, and he'll ask for a timeout. Quick adjustment of the batting gloves. Now a few taps on home plate with the end of the bat. One-one. Ground ball to second. Justin Johnson has it. Out completed at first. Rodriguez up to third base. Garabitos, I'm sure, more than happy to trade the 90 feet for the second out. And even though the tie run is at third base, Nathaniel can focus all of his attention on the catcher, Cade Hunter. He has reached base safely in 14 straight ball games, but is 0 for 2 to start today. First pitch, high and away, ball one. Quad Cities is giving up quite a bit of the middle of the infield. Third baseman Werner keeping tabs on the runner, while the shortstop Dickerson is right behind the second base bag. Johnson way in the hole on the right side. 1-0. Low, two balls, no strikes. Basically, if Hunter hits a routine ground ball to short, he's going to tie the game up. Hunter with 15 RBIs in 36 games this year. One of the two catchers listed on the Dragons roster. Logan Tanner getting the day off. 2-0. A little bit low. Three balls, no strikes. Hunter, 23 years old, a fifth-round pick back in 2022 by the Cincinnati Reds. Played his college ball at Virginia Tech. 3-0. Fastball on the inner half, a called strike. Garabitos took a little something off that one to make sure it landed in the zone. The Bandits have stood a lefty up in the bullpen. A.J. Block beginning to get loose. 3-1. Swing and a miss. Good fastball on the lower outside corner. And Nathaniel's worked himself right back into the count. Tying run at third base with two outs in the top of the sixth. Got to beat those sets. The payoff. Low and inside. He lost him. Couldn't land the slider. So Hunter gets a two-out walk, but with first base available, not the worst thing in the world for Garabitos. He is set to get a mound visit from Derek Lewis, the River Bandits pitching coach. Garabitos looks up and sees the middle infield walking in, a little bit surprised. Now he'll greet D'Lo. 1-0 lead for Quad Cities in the top of the sixth inning. Bandits trying to work their way back into the Midwest League West Division playoff conversation here in the first half. Remember, just a couple of weeks ago, the Bandits were tied with the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers for first place in the division, but the Bandits have lost 11 of their last 12 ball games, including a sweep on the road last week in Cedar Rapids. Now the Bandits are a season worst 3 games under 500 and 7.5 games back of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, who just leapfrogged the Rattlers in the standings yesterday. They have the best record in the Midwest League at 27-15. Wisconsin right behind at 27-16. Set to resume. Runners at the corners and two men on for Ethan O'Donnell. Garabitos delivers low. It's ball one. For the Dayton Dragons, they are in fifth place in the Eastern Division, but they only trail the Loons and Captains by 3 games. 1-0. Pitch outside, 2 balls, no strikes. The divisions have kind of flipped in, or as I should say, that they flipped as far as how they look. Quad Cities originally way atop the division, almost running away with it with Wisconsin. 2-0. That is hammered. Deep right field, a problem for Nivens. It's going to sail out of here. That's a 3-run homer for Ethan O'Donnell, and Dayton has jumped in front. It's 3-1 on what's O'Donnell's second home run of the season. This game just took a huge turn. 400 feet towards the river in right field, 107 off the bat. And that's about as no doubt of a shot as you're going to get to that part of the ballpark. So all of a sudden, the Dragons have taken the lead. And with two outs and the base is now clear, here's Victor Acosta. First pitch outside, ball one. Well, for Garabitos, that's the third home run he has given up this year. His second in the month of May. The pitch. High, 2-0. One of the repercussions of throwing that high-velocity fastball is if somebody connects with it, it's going to travel a long ways. O'Donnell now 2-for-2 with the blast, a single, a walk, and 3 RBIs. As Acosta takes a home run hack but comes up empty, it's 2-1. And one of those runs going to be unearned for Garabitos. 2-1 pitch. Called strike, lower inside corner, 2-2. Remember, it was Nivens' error back in the beginning of the inning, which allowed Hector Rodriguez to reach. Garabitos got the next two outs, but the two-out walk prolonged the inning for O'Donnell. 2-2. Got him chasing in the dirt, strike three. Hernandez picks up the loose ball, tags Acosta, and ends the frame, but not before the Dragons take a 3-1 lead. We'll be right back for the bottom of the sixth on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can band it together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together. All of a sudden, a three-run homer for Ethan O'Donnell has put the Dayton Dragons in front for the first time tonight. They're in front 3-1 as we open up the bottom of the sixth. Bandits trying to spark a rally behind Spencer Nivens. 5-6 and 7 to hit for QC with Easton Sikorski still out there. Sikorski had not completed an outing of three or more innings prior to tonight, but he is back out there going for four. First pitch to Nivens, a strike on the lower outside corner. Nivens 0-for-1 with a walk back in the third inning. Sikorski works from the full wind. Here's the 0-1. That's in the dirt. One ball, one strike. What I was trying to say before the homer from O'Donnell, the Midwest League divisions have flipped in appearance. The Eastern Division has become much closer of a battle than what it was at the start of the summer. 1-1 breaking ball floated in the air, shallow left center. Charging in is Rodriguez, and he'll make the running grab. Nivens just can't buy a hit right now. There's one away. At the start of the year, the Eastern Division was kind of a runaway for Great Lakes. And to a slightly lesser extent, Lake County. But now that division has tightened up to where all six teams are within 4.5 games of each other. The Western Division has got several teams in the deep cellar. Here's Dustin Dickerson taking low and outside. South Bend and Peoria both double digits worth of games back from the division-leading Colonels. 1-0. Punched foul over the Party Plaza. 1-1 on Dusty. Dickerson is one of two Bandits who have reached twice in the game. He singled in the second. Nice opposite field drive in between Stewart and Serrano. And then back in the third, he worked a two-out walk against Sikorski. Right-handers 1-1. That's low. 2-1. A.J. Block has continued to toss in Quad City's bullpen. Got to beat those pitching two frames of action today. 2-1. Grounder foul to the left side. All three runs he gave up on the homer are unearned because an error started off the inning. 2-2 pitch. Another grounder foul towards Brooks Conrad, who's going to have to pick up another souvenir. He was just trying to hand deliver one to a fan a second ago. Now he throws it to Chase Wallace, says, here, you give it out. 2-2. Reached out and fouled over by our first base camera. Dickerson reaching the arms out well away from the strike zone to get a piece and stay alive. Another 2-2 from Sikorski. That's called strike three, a fastball at the knees. Dickerson knew it. Easton Sikorsky has locked in. He's retired 9 straight River Bandits, including 4 strikeouts. And now here's Justin Johnson. Kiefer Quad Cities now, they saw their lead go away with one hack. They need to start chipping away. They've been held to just one run on 2 hits as JJ shows bunt the first pitch, but Sikorsky's offering is low and outside. You take away Werner's homer, the Bandits have no runs and just one hit. Not a dissimilar line from yesterday. 1-0, strike at the knees, 1-1. Johnson 0 for 2, but he reached on an error in the second inning. However, he never scored. A 1-1 swing and a swinging strike 2. But a 3/4 hack from Johnson, who tried to hold up on the curveball. And now he'll ask for time to regain his composure. Sikorsky's pitch count now over 60. He had not come even close to that this year. The pitch fouled off the catcher Hunter. Johnson just getting a piece. Lights have come on here in downtown Davenport, with the sun having almost totally set over the first base side. Big crowd on hand, hoping for what would now be a comeback win for Quad Cities. 1-2. Fastball a bit low. 2-2. Sikorsky, of course, now pitching in line for the win. Gave up that homer to Werner, but he's been fantastic otherwise. He comes home again. Breaking ball, got him swinging. Strike 3. Johnson winds all the way up on his front foot. He fell to a knee, and Sikorsky picks up his 6th strikeout and his 3rd straight perfect inning. We'll go to the top of the 7th here at Modern Woman Park. Quad City's trailing 3-1.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woman Park's 5 unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
After a couple innings from Nathaniel Garabitos, it'll be the lefty A.J. Block who will toe the slab for the Bandits in the top of the 7th inning. The Dayton Dragons with a 3-run lead, looking to add on 8-9-1 to up against the former Washington State product. First pitch to Drew Mount. It's a strike on the edge of the outer half of the zone, strike 1. First appearance of the series for Block, his 11th of the year, 0-1. Slider, called strike, lower outside corner, nothing at 2. Block is 2-1 with a 3.78 ERA, 22 Ks to just 8 walks in 16 2/3. 0-2, another slider, this one grounded past the diving Squires into right field. It splits the first and second baseman, and Drew Mount has his first hit in his AAA rehab. He is now 1-for-10 on the series. Nice effort from Block, or rather from Squires, to try to knock that one down. But Mount reached out and just kind of yanked it through the right side. So here's Serrano, a right-handed batter, and he takes a called strike on the inner half. Block with Quad Cities for the second time in his career. Debuted with the Bandits in high A in 2021. 0-1. Swing and a miss, nothing in two. Block back to action after missing each of the last two seasons coming back from an injury. A process that included Tommy John surgery. 0-2. Up and in, one ball, two strikes. When he was with the Bandits in 21, he was a key part to that year's championship run. Quad Cities' 12th league title in pro baseball's history in Davenport. 1-2, swing and a miss. Took Serrano up the ladder. First strikeout for AJ and out number one in the seventh. He was a starter for Quad Cities that year. Even started game five of the title-clinching game against the Cedar Rapids Colonels here at Modern Woodman Park. But this year, exclusively a reliever for QC. Here's Carlos Jorge left on left. Southpaw deals, and Jorge chases a slider down and outside. A swinging strike one. Block has made 10 appearances this year and given up runs in only seven of them, or excuse me, in only three. His other seven totally scoreless. 0-1. Another slider, another swing and a miss, 0-2. The issue in those three outings, Block gave up multiple runs in all of them, including last week against Cedar Rapids. Colonels struck for two runs in two innings of Block's relief work. Does he triple up on the slider here? 0-2. He does, and Jorge fouls it back to the screen to stay alive. Dayton's leadoff man is hitless with a couple of strikeouts, but he did walk to start the ball game. However, he did not score. Drew Mount over at first after a leadoff single, one out in the inning. Another two-strike toss. Another slider. It's fouled into the catcher Hernandez. He couldn't hold on to it. And count holds. After four innings from Easton Sikorsky, the Dragons have stood a right-hander up in their bullpen. Another 0-2 from A.J. Block. Fastball, got him swinging, strike three. Great pitch right there. Set him up with the slider down and away three straight times and then went heat up and in. Classic sequence there. Third strikeout for Jorge and the second for Block. So man at first, two away for Hector Rodriguez. First pitch. A slider cut on and missed. Strike one. Well, when you've got all the lefties in the lineup that Dayton does, you are going to be susceptible to that down and away slider from A.J. Block. It's his bread and butter left on left. The pitch. Here's a fastball chopped on the ground. High hop to the third baseman Warner. He gloves, throws to first, and retires Rodriguez to end the inning. Nice frame from A.J. Block. He works around the seeing eye single and sends the Bandits to the plate for the bottom of the seventh. Dragons in front, 3-1 on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Cody Jesse is the new right-handed pitcher for the Dayton Dragons. He will take over in the bottom of the seventh, trying to hold on to Dayton's 3-1 lead over Quad Cities. He'll be greeted by the catcher, Omar Hernandez. First pitch, a fastball for strike one. This is the second season in Dayton for Jesse, although he made just one appearance for the Dragons in 2023. Big, tall right-hander. His 0-1. Slider outside, 1-1. 11th outing of this year for Brody. He is 3-0 with a 6.11 ERA, giving up 12 earned and 17 and two-thirds innings this year, but he's got 23 strikeouts. 1-1. High and away, 2-1. Jesse, 6'3", 230 pounds. A guy who resides in Anchorage, Alaska. 23-year-old. Played collegiately at Gonzaga and was a 10th round pick of that school back in 2022. The pitch. Low and outside, 3-1. It's been a quiet day for Hernandez. 0-for-1 with a strikeout, but he did lay down a good sack bunt in the second. Quad Cities just failed to take advantage. 3-1 pitch. Slider, check swing. It's down and away, and Hernandez did not go. He tosses the bat aside, and the Bandits have their first base runner since the third inning. So Hernandez down to first, and a man aboard for Davies Nadal. Quad Cities did not have much luck against Easton Sikorsky, who threw a season-high 4 innings out of the Dragons' bullpen. He struck out Nadal in the fourth inning. Davies now at the plate, taking high and away for ball one against Jesse. Sikorsky's only mistake, the solo homer that he allowed to Trevor Werner back in the third. Otherwise, 3 walks and 6 strikeouts in those 4 innings. Here's the 1-0. A drive down the right field line. That one's going to hook foul into the Dragons' bullpen. Omar Hernandez, a catcher, but he's at first base and always posing a threat to run. He led all minor league catchers with 26 stolen bases as a member of the Fireflies last year. He's a perfect 6-for-6 for QC this summer. Not going on the 1-1. Nadal lays down a bunt down the third baseline, but this one goes foul. It's touched up by Hunter. And strike two. Cheeky move from Nadi. He's got that in his arsenal. Probably the quickest line-to-line runner on this Bandits team. Makes his way back to home plate. His bat still laying on the ground outside of the coach's box. And now he'll ask Shin Koishizawa for a timeout. Most likely just to catch his breath. Bandits down 3-1 in the bottom of the seventh. They have a man at first with nobody out. Jesse pauses at the belt. And fires. Inside. Nadi leans out of the way. Last week, Jesse pitched twice against the Great Lakes Loons, formerly the best offense in the Midwest League. Here's the pitch. Runner goes. Inside, the throw to second from Hunter is not held onto by Acosta. And Omar thought about third for a moment, but puts on the brakes and now slaps the tag away from Acosta. So a stolen bag for Omar, number 7 on the year for him. He has yet to be caught. And the count 3-2 on Nadal. Jesse with the payoff. That's inside, ball 4. Back-to-back walks issued by the right-hander. And Quad Cities has the tying run at the plate now in Carter Jensen. Looks like a mound visit coming up for Dayton. It's the manager, Vince Harrison Jr., who is walking out, not the usual pitching coach, Brian Garman. And there is no one in that Dragons bullpen. You could see all the Dayton infielders looking to the pen to see who was going to come in. There was no one there. It's just the skipper. Wants to talk with the right-hander. Well, the Bandits will wrap up this series against the Dragons tomorrow night. Again, a 6:30 first pitch. Pregame show on the River Bandits Baseball Network at 6:20. But that is not the end of baseball this month in Davenport. Quad Cities remains home for a six-game series against South Bend next week. And that will take us into the month of June. It's a 12-game homestand for Quad Cities. Their only one of the year. So plenty of chances to see the Bandits with all this great weather coming up. Don't miss your chance to catch the Royals' high A affiliate and some future major leaguers. Ready to resume in the bottom of the seventh. Runners at first and second with no one out for Jensen. First pitch from Jesse is inside and low for ball one. Carter is due for a hit. He's had a good series. 4-for-10 with three doubles and a walk. But he is 0-for-3 with two strikeouts in this ball game. Jesse's 1-0. Fly ball left field. That one's going to get out of play. And a long strike one for Jensen. Carter, a tremendously skilled bat, normally in the middle of the order, usually in that 2 or 3 spot. Filling in for Jack Pineda atop the cart tonight. He pops the 1-1 up in front of the Bandits dugout. The catcher, Hunter, over by the stairs will make the catch. And that is a deflating first out for Quad Cities. So Jesse able to get arguably the best bat on just a couple of pitches. And not only is an out on the board, but both base runners still stuck at second and first. So the torches pass to Carson Rockefort. He's also hitless in the game, but he walked to reach in the third inning. Right on left, once again, Jesse deals. Fastball is on the lower outside corner for strike one. Still nobody warming up in either bullpen, so expect A.J. Block to take his spot back on the hill in the eighth inning. Here's the 0-1. Line drive, that's under the glove of Serrano, down the first baseline. Here comes Hernandez around third. Here comes Nadal around third. Relay to the plate, won't get him. Tie ball game. RBI double for Carson Rockefort. And Quad Cities has responded here in the seventh. He pulled it down the right field line. Serrano made a diving attempt. Hernandez was going to score all the way. And then once he gets there, he directs Nadal where to slide at home. The throw on the relay, well late. So a 3-3 game now in the bottom of the seventh. Quad Cities fans once again with something to cheer about. Really their first time to cheer since the Werner homer in the third. Go-ahead run at second base with one out for Brett Squires. First pitch swinging, he comes up empty, strike one. Second double of the week for Rocco. His first two RBIs of the series. Numbers 17 and 18 on the year. Jesse's 0-1. Punched foul over the left side, nothing in two. Just waiting for Quad Cities to have one of those innings this week where they strike for multiple runs, stringing together multiple hits. Maybe this is it. 0-2. Inside. Squires gets the back foot out of the way. Dragons have just stood a right-hander up in their bullpen. Jesse at 19 pitches. 9 have been for a strike. 1-2 to Squires in the dirt. Good take. Just like Rockefort, Squires enters his fourth plate appearance of the ballgame, 0-for-2 with a walk. Lined out to the third baseman Collier his last time up. A good base runner and Rockefort at second. He's held by the shortstop Acosta. 2-2. Line drive through the left side, a base hit. Here comes Rockefort around third base. No throw from Rodriguez. Quad Cities is back in front. RBI single, Brett Squires, 4-3 River Bandits. Gotta love those two strike hits from Brett Squires. He does it with the best of them. Never down in the count. He got a fastball middle in. He didn't crush it, but he got the job done. So now it's the Bandits with their three-run inning. And Trevor Werner takes strike one. Before the double from Rockefeller, Werner had the Bandits' only RBI swing with that solo smash. A one. Breaking ball bounced sharply to short, could be two. Acosta to Stewart, over to Serrano. That ends the inning, 6-4-3. So Quad City's rally comes to an abrupt halt, but they do jump back in front. They once again lead by a tally. 4-3 Quad Cities. We go to the eighth on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits, it's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Now pitching with the lead, A.J. Block will take over in the top of the eighth. Quad Cities with a three-run frame. The table setters, the 8-9 hitters for QC, Omar Hernandez and Davies Nadal. Sal Stewart takes ball one out of the hand of Block. Hernandez and Nadal both walking against Brody Jesse and coming in on a game-tying two-run double from Carson Rockefeller. Stewart takes a strike at the bottom of the zone, 1-1 out of the hand of Block. And then Brett Squires in a two-strike count brings in Rockefeller with an RBI single. 1-1 fastball inside, it's 2-1. Jesse got Trevor Werner to bounce into an inning-ending double play, but Quad Cities completed the mission. 2-1 slider, broken bat blooper, foul territory. In the right side, Squires slides towards the fence, but he won't have a shot at it. Nestles up right against the chain link, and Brett hands a souvenir to a youngster. Great to see Quad Cities get one of those late inning rallies. Looked like another here we go again situation after Jesse got Jensen to pop up for the first out right after Quad Cities had gotten their back-to-back runners aboard. And then Rockefeller said, don't worry, I got you. Pulled one down the right field line into the corner, and with Hernandez and Nadal's speed, they were going to score the whole way. And then Brett Squires brought in Rocco with another one of his trademark two-out hits. Or two-strike hits, I should say. Here's a two-strike pitch to Stewart. Block misses high, 3-2. The Reds' number 7 prospect with a new bat in hand. He's 0-3 tonight. The pitch. Curveball, punch foul. That's past the third base coach's box. Quad Cities with a new man up in the bullpen. Right-hander Ben Sears beginning to get loose. Payoff pitch from Block. High and inside, ball four. So Stewart will not extend his hit streak. It's stuck at 7 games. But He does find his way on to start the inning. Tying tally aboard for the always dangerous Cam Collier. 1-for-3 in the ball game. His first hit of the series was a single in the fourth inning against Henry Williams. First pitch. Down and away with a breaking ball, 1-0. This part of the order has three straight left-handed hitters for Dayton, so a much better matchup for the southpaw block as opposed to the right-handed hitting Stewart. 1-0 slider. It bends into the inner half, a called strike one. Quad Cities is being out-hit tonight, 5-4, but they lead in the run column, 4-3. Looking for their second win of the week. The pitch. Called strike. Outside half of the zone, it's 1-2. It's like a little changeup from Block at 88. Perhaps a little slider. Usually it's pretty fastball slider heavy, but that looked like a much shorter slider than what we usually see from AJ. 1-2. Low and outside. That one definitely a slider. No chase. Here's a back pick to first. Stewart back standing up. When leading after seven innings this year, Quad Cities is 14-1. Trying to increase that number here as the 2-2 is lifted to left field. Here's Davies Nadal to his right. He gets to the ball in plenty of time, and there's one gone. So a good response from Block after the leadoff free pass. And here comes Cade Hunter. Talking about streaks. He extended his 14-game on-base streak, working a walk in the sixth inning to keep the inning alive for Ethan O'Donnell, who launched the big three-run homer. Here's the pitch. Bit outside, ball one. Right-handers warming up in each bullpen right now. Ben Sears going for Quad Cities. An unidentified reliever for the Dragons. 1-0. Ground ball sharply hit to the second baseman, Johnson. Over to Dickerson for one. The throw to first. Got him as well. 36th double play of the year for Quad Cities. 4-6-3 to eliminate the tying runner in the eighth. We go to the ninth here at Modern Woodman Park, or the bottom of the eighth, I should say. Quad Cities looking to add to a 4-3 lead.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Maurer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Searching for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located behind Section 7 inside the ballpark, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. Quad Cities looks to add to its 4-3 lead here in the bottom of the eighth. It'll be John Murphy, the new pitcher for the Dragons. Spencer Nivens leads it off and fouls one over the left side for strike one. Murphy just activated for the Dragons off the development list the other day. This marks his seventh appearance of the season and his first outing since May 5th. A one. Fastball, a called strike on the lower inside corner. He takes over for Brody Jesse, who gave up three runs in that Bandits half of the seventh on two hits, two walks, and no strikeouts. Time asked for by Nivens. They reset the pitch clock as he steps into the left-handed box. Heavy shift up the middle and towards right field. 0-2 fastballs left up, no chase. Nivens with a pretty good swing back in the sixth inning, but yet another out. 0-2 with a walk in the game. This is a guy that is due to get off the schneid. The pitch. Fouled over the press box on the left side. We'll do it again. John Murphy from Merchantville, New Jersey. 27-year-old is the oldest pitcher on the staff. He deals. Fastball high and away. Played his college ball at Maryland and was signed as a free agent by the Reds last year. Two-two. Wave and a miss. Got Nivens up the ladder with a fastball. And there's one down to start the eighth inning. Watt Cities had sat down a right-hander momentarily. But now Ben Sears back up in the bullpen. Brooks Conrad presumably wants him in the top of the ninth once we get there. Dustin Dickerson trying to help lead him to some more insurance. First pitch. Called strike, outer edge. Dusty is 1-for-2 in the ball game with a single and a walk. Now the owner of a brand new 5-game hit streak. The pitch. Curveball. Another strike. It's at the base of the zone. 0-2. Now Murphy, as I mentioned, played his college ball in Maryland. A one-time Cape Cod Baseball League pitcher. 0-2. Down and outside. One ball, two strikes. But he's spent the last few seasons pitching in indie ball, going all the way back to 2020. One, two. Fouled over the right side. Dickerson stays alive. Finished up his college career. Didn't find a spot in affiliated baseball. So he pitched for the West Side Woolly Mammoths in the United Shore League for a couple of years. Then made his way to the Frontier League in 2021. One, two. That one's high. Two balls, two strikes. There he pitched for both Washington and Gateway. And in 2023 was signed by the Reds as a free agent, pitched at a couple of different levels, including AAA. 2-2. Another foul ball. Dickerson sends a curveball to the backstop. Made just one appearance for Louisville. Spent an okay amount of the year in Daytona, but the vast majority of the summer was in the Midwest League with Dayton. Pitched to a 489 ERA and 26 relief appearances. Another 2-2. High and outside. This is a great at-bat from Dickerson. And the count runs full. A 4-3 lead for Quad Cities in the bottom of the eighth inning. One out, bases clear. Dickerson battling it out against John Murphy. The payoff. Foul ball off of the hands of Dickerson. The ball goes ricocheting into Hunter. Dusty accidentally tossed the bat forward as he was frustrated and tried to throw the bat up to himself and swipe it down. Ninth pitch of the plate appearance upcoming. Murphy delivers. Another foul ball. This one may be playable on the right side, but it's going to get into the party plaza. Serrano gave it a look, but no shot. Well, at the very least, Dickerson is making Murphy throw a number of different pitches in a number of different areas. He's been sticking with the fastball mostly here with two strikes. Another 3-2. Another fastball, and this time Dickerson swings through it for strike three. That's second strikeout of the inning for Murphy. So now here's Justin Johnson for Quad Cities. With two outs, Murphy gets a visit from his catcher, Hunter. Maybe a brief conversation regarding the scouting report. Figure out how they'll face the former Demon Deacon. Johnson looking for his first hit of the night. He's got two knocks in the series, including a double. In the right-handed box, he's ready to go. Murphy, with the pitch clock down to four, throws in a fastball, and it's on the outer half of the zone for strike one. Infield shifted towards left. Second baseman Stewart playing behind the bag. 0-1. Fastball at the knees. A called strike two. It's a little bit of a sinker from Murphy. It's got a little bit of arm side movement to it. It's coming across at 90-91. Right-hander's two-strike toss. Big slider down and away. One ball, two strikes. Quad Cities took the initial lead in the game on Werner's homer in the fourth. Or in the third, I beg your pardon. Dayton got a three-run blast off the bat of Ethan O'Donnell in the sixth to take the lead. 1-2. It's called strike three, lower inside corner. The Bandits then took the lead in the seventh. They're up 4-3, and that's what it will be going to the ninth. John Murphy strikes out the side in order in the bottom of the eighth, and I believe it will be Ben Sears on to try to close it out. Quad City's looking for its second win of the week and to snap a three-game skid. This is Midwest League Baseball on the River Bandits Baseball Network. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodman Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Ben Sears comes on at the top of the ninth for Quad Cities. The right-hander trying to nail down what would be the Bandits' second win of the week. They lead 4-3, but will have to retire this man, Ethan O'Donnell. Hasn't been easy tonight. He leads off the frame for the Dragons and takes a called strike. Ethan 2-for-2 with a single, and all three of the Dragons' runs driven in with that three-run homer in the sixth. Sears is 0-1. Wave and a miss. Good slider. Nothing in two. It's the second outing of the week for Ben, who pitched in game one of the doubleheader on Wednesday. Gave up just his third earned run of the season on three hits, no walks, and no strikeouts. He is gunning for his fourth save of the season in five opportunities tonight. is 0-2 to O'Donnell. Flair to foul over the left side. Count holds. Bandits have been decent in save opportunities this year. They are 9-4-15. Another 0-2 to O'Donnell. Fastball up and away. 1-2. Sears has had a tremendous year in what's now his second summer as a member of the Bandits. 0-1 with a 1.56 earned run average. 1-2. Slider pulled foul towards the tarp on the right side. 23-year-old hails from Rhode Island and was a 14th round pick by Kansas City back in 2022 out of the University of Houston. He comes home with a 1-2. Slider punched up in the air, left side. Werner into foul ground by the bleachers. Well, watch it clang off the metal, and O'Donnell stays alive. Ethan this year hitting just 208, but he's lifted his average by 22 points with this 2-for-2 game. Three-run homer back in the sixth inning against Nathaniel Garbitos. Sears trying to get him here. 1-2. Fastball just down and away. Fans like that spot, but it's 2-2. Sears has the heater 92-93 to start the night. It's about where you can expect to see it. The 2-2 to O'Donnell. Another foul ball over the left side. Great at bat here. O'Donnell fell behind 0-2 early and just continues to battle. First baseman Squires holding that right field line closely. Another 2-2. Fly ball, well struck, right field. Playable though for Nivens. He backs up and makes the catch for out number one. So good start for Sears. He's the first River Bandit to retire O'Donnell tonight. And with one out and the bases clear, he'll face the switch hitting shortstop Victor Acosta, who of course will bat lefty against the right-handed Sears. 0-for-3 with a strikeout tonight. Acosta waits. First pitch. Slider outside, ball one. Sears wearing number 31 for the Bandits this year. He's got the long blue sleeves on despite the warm temperatures tonight. 1-0. Fastball right back to Sears. He gloves on the mound, falls over, gets up, and flips to first for the out. Oh, yeah, Ben Sears. He handles the comebacker like a champ. One skip off the grass, a falling snag by the hurler. Hit the ground via his backside, then just stood up, jogged over to first, and flipped to Squires for the out. Now the adrenaline, I'm sure, really pumping for Ben. He'll try to relax as he takes on Drew Mount, who's the last hope for the Dragons in the ninth. First pitch. Fastball, outer edge, a called strike one. Fastball at 94 that time. A little bit amped up after that. See if he can use that to his advantage. A one offering. Slider low, 1-1. A visible jump in the fastball velo after the comebacker. Mount picked up his first hit of the week with a single back in the seventh, but he is just 1-for-10 in the series during this rehab assignment. Sears 1-1. That's flared foul over the Bandits dugout. Count 1-2. Quad Cities a strike away from nailing down a win. Faced a similar situation in the doubleheader. Dragons worked a magical run that night. Quad City's not hoping for it today. 1-2. Popped him up. Center of the infield. Sears gets out of the way. The catcher Hernandez goes out. He'll take charge and make the catch to end the ball game. Quad City snaps a three-game losing streak, and they pick up their second win of the series against the Dayton Dragons. It's a come-from-behind victory on a Saturday night in Davenport. Your final score, Quad Cities 4, Dayton 3. Your River Bandits post-game show is coming up next. Stick with us on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Final time tonight, we welcome you back to downtown Davenport and Modern Woodman Park, where Quad Cities gets a win over the Dayton Dragons. Final score in game five of this six-game series, River Bandits 4, Dragons 3. Kyle Kirchville with you for the River Bandits post-game show. Let's get you started with the line score. For the Dragons, they score 3 runs on 5 hits with 1 error, go 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position, and strand 5 on the base paths. For the River Bandits, 4 runs on 4 hits, 1 error, 2-for-7 with men in scoring position. They strand 6. The winning pitcher is A.J. Block. He improves to 3-1 on the year, pitching a scoreless 2 innings out of the bullpen and working around 1 hit and 1 walk with 2 strikeouts. The losing pitcher, and also picking up his first blown save of the year, is Brody Jesse, who falls to 3-1, giving up 3 runs on 2 hits, 2 walks, and no strikeouts in 1 inning of relief work. Ben Sears picks up his 4th save in 5 opportunities this year. He pitches a 1-2-3 ninth inning, including a terrific play on a comebacker off the bat of Victor Acosta. The final time of the ball game tonight, 2 hours and 33 minutes, with a season high 4,169 through the gates here at Modern Woodman Park. Neither pitcher factored into the decision tonight. Henry Williams was terrific for Quad Cities after he struggled in one of his worst outings of the season last week. He responds with 4 scoreless, working around 3 hits and 2 walks with 2 strikeouts. The starter for Dayton, TJ Sikkema, in his return to the QCA, goes 2 scoreless, allowing 1 hit and 2 walks with 2 Ks. It was expected that he would have a short outing tonight. He did just that, but it was a scoreless outing nonetheless, and a great opportunity for him to get to see some friends and family who came down from Clinton and DeWitt today. Out of the bullpen for Quad Cities, Nathaniel Garabitos gave up 3 unearned runs in 2 frames of relief on 1 hit, a walk, and 3 strikeouts. And for the Dragons, Easton Sikorsky gave the Dragons 4 innings of 1-run ball. He gave up the solo homer to Trevor Warner in the third, but really nothing else. He worked around 3 walks and struck out a game-high 6. The only other man to pitch out of the bullpen for the Dragons was John Murphy, who kept the game a 1-run contest by striking out the side in order, silencing the Bandits' insurance efforts in the bottom of the 8th. But ultimately, it wouldn't matter. Ben Sears closed the door in the top of the 9th, and Quad Cities gets its 21st win of the season. Offensively, the Bandits were lifted primarily by that 3-run rally in the 7th. Quad Cities got the initial lead of the game on that Warner blast in the 3rd, a solo shot for his 4th of the year, but then neither team would score until the 6th when Ethan O'Donnell left the yard with a 3-run shot over the right field fence to put Dayton in front by a pair. But the Bandits didn't wait long to respond, as after a couple of leadoff walks, or back-to-back walks to start the inning, I should say, put 2 men on in the 7th, Carson Rockefort drove in both Hernandez and Nadal with a 2-run double, his 2nd two-bagger of the series. And just 1 batter later, Brett Squires drove in Rockefort to break the 3-3 tie and give Quad Cities its eventual game-winning run. Let's give you one more look around the Midwest League scoreboard. Still a couple of games still in action tonight, including the contest in Peoria, where the division-leading Colonels are tied up with the Chiefs 2-2 in the bottom of the 7th. In Great Lakes, another great game going on between the Loons and the Skycarp. Seems like you can say that throughout every game this week. Beloit currently leads in the top of the 8th. It's 7-5, East versus West over at Dow Diamond. Games that wrapped up include the contest that was the continuation of yesterday's suspension in Fort Wayne. The Tin Caps got a 4-3 win over the Lansing Lugnuts, but they're still playing the originally scheduled game for tonight, a contest that became a 7-inning affair thanks to yesterday's suspension, and they are leading the Lansing Lugnuts 5-1 in Game 2 of the quasi doubleheader, so to speak. The Lake County Captains got a win over West Michigan today. Final score in Eastlake, Ohio, 8-6. Captains over the Whitecaps. And with that win, they guarantee that they stay at least tied for the top spot in the Eastern Division. They're waiting to see what happens over in Great Lakes. And then over in South Bend, the Cubs put a beatdown on the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. South Bend scores 8 runs in the 2nd to lead a 13-1 win over Wisconsin. So that's a important win for the Cedar Rapids Colonels. If they hold on for a victory, they will be a full game and a half above the Timber Rattlers for the top spot in the Midwest League West Division. Now let's get you some updates from the Kansas City Royals minor league system. A few games have gone final, including the contest in Omaha, where the Storm Chasers got another win over Columbus. Final score, Warner Park, 4-3 Chasers. The luck not so good for the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. They fell to the Amarillo Sod Poodles in a game that featured 27 hits. The Naturals, though, lost 14-4 over at Arvest Ballpark. They're still playing over in Delmarva, where the Fireflies are looking to beat the Shorebirds. They're on top 9-5 in the top of the eighth. And actually, another game happening in NWA. Remember, the Naturals had their contest against Amarillo suspended yesterday. So that first 14-4 final, the conclusion of that suspended game yesterday. But it's still all Sod Poodles. They are up 9-0 in the bottom of the seventh inning in game two. Quad Cities will wrap up this six-game series against Dayton tomorrow night. We're back to our usual 6:30 start time, but that's a bit unusual for Sunday games. Usually the Bandits will play those in the afternoon, but nope, a 6:30 start tomorrow. Your pregame show starts on the River Bandits Baseball Network at 6:20. Of course, we highly recommend you come out and watch the Bandits in person, especially because after the game tomorrow, there will be a special Memorial Day weekend fireworks show. And you've also got a chance to win one of 9 mini fridges that will be given away courtesy of Budweiser. So come on in, get your $2 GA tickets for military members, get some pregame player autographs, have the kids run the bases after the game, and just do all that good stuff to wrap up, or I guess continue, your Memorial Day weekend here in downtown Davenport. With the win tonight, Quad Cities is now 21-23 on the season, 11-9 here at home, and they snapped that three-game skid. For the Dayton Dragons, they fall to 21-23, 10-13 on the road. Their three-game win streak comes to an end. That'll wrap up tonight's broadcast here at Modern Woodman Park. On behalf of our entire production staff and our director of production, Justin Hodge, I'm Kyle Kirchival. Thanking you so much for tuning in here on the River Bandits Baseball Network. We hope you join us tomorrow for a Sunday night edition of River Bandits Baseball. Again, at 6:30, the first pitch. It'll be Shane Panzini getting the ball against Jared Lyons for the Dayton Dragons. Until then, have a wonderful rest of your Saturday night, and we'll see you tomorrow right back here on the River Bandits Baseball Network. So long, and good night from the Quad City.